From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Mitch Pacwa. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
This Monday, how am I doing? A tremendous Wednesday to each and every one of you. I just did a pre-record with Father Trujillo. That's on Monday, so I'm a little locked into my mistake here. Mm-hmm. So, happy Wednesday. You knew it was Wednesday, right?
I actually did.
Yeah. Okay, very good. You're ahead of me. Happy Wednesday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line. If you'd like to be part of the program, the number is 1205. Actually, the number is 833-288. Let's start over. 833-288-EWTN. It's a toll-free number. It's a free phone call anywhere in North America. That I do know. 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, that's when you want to use the number 1-205-271-2985. You can always send us an email, openline@ewtn.com, or you can text your question to Father Mitch. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question. Message and data rates may apply. This is going to be a really good show.
Good.
We have too many things that are going a little wonky here, but yeah. Old Hairy Legs is trying to intervene, and I think we're going to end up having a terrific show here. The rumor is that we're on Facebook Live and YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook Live, type a question into the chat window, and it may find its way to us by the end of the program. I'm Jack Williams. Ace McKay, celebrity producer, who's the only one doing his job at this point, is producing the program. Your call screener is Matt Kubensky, and I don't know who's handling social media. I guess it's Charles Beery. Charles Beery is handling social media. Bail me out, Father Mitch. We're waiting on emails.
Yes. Well, we want to take a call.
Waiting for your microphone to be working.
My microphone? There it is.
Yeah. Let's go with Ryan. Let's go ahead and take Ryan right off the bat here from Midland, Texas. He is listening on Guadalupe Radio. Ryan, you are on with Father Mitch.
Hey, Father.
Yes,
I wanted
sir.
To know, whenever a Western or Eastern priest or bishop is granted biritual faculties, mm-hmm. are they only allowed to celebrate each other's liturgies, or can they also celebrate each other's weddings, funerals, last rites, confessions, and et cetera?
Yeah, they can celebrate all the sacraments that are allowed for their office. For instance, I cannot do a Maronite ordination because I'm not a bishop. So that would be something that depends on being a bishop. But the other sacraments, I hear confessions at the Maronite churches. I do baptism and chrismation, which is the Eastern Rite name for what Westerners call confirmation, marriages, all that. It's totally, you have faculties for that. Though, of course, the same applies with marriage, for instance, as it does with other in the Roman Rite, that it has to have the permission of the pastor, but you know, this is certainly allowed.
Does that help, Ryan?
Oh, yeah, thank you much. Pray for Texas. We need lots of rain. It's dry here.
I know. I was in Dallas over Easter, and we had some clouds forming up. It looks like it might could rain, but it didn't. And so it's not good. And a friend of mine who there's a group called the Rome Boys. They do podcasts out there in Central Texas, and I was talking to one of them who is a cotton farmer, And it's really, really bad. They haven't had nearly enough rain. So do pray for Texas and other states that are missing the moisture. This weather pattern brought a lot of moisture to us in the Alabama and Southeast area and the East Coast. But then it doesn't get to the Texas and other parts of the central states.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. It looks like you have some emails now.
Oh, would you like me to take a look at them?
You know what? That would be amazing.
Happy to. And so here's a question from Joseph. Father, I've always thought that our souls are like clay, and at the moment of our death, we are put into the kiln or no longer able to change. Another view is that we have one last chance after death to accept Jesus to be with him or not, sometimes called the last offer cup. Please explain the church teaching on this subject. Thank you, Father. There is no church doctrine about a last offer cup. I've never even heard that phrase, Catholicism. You know, our Lord would give anybody, I remember the sisters saying back in the 50s, if the Lord thought that one more chance would be enough for you to be saved, you would get it. But, you know, it is the case that death acts like a kiln, and that's where the clay of life is fired. The prophets Jeremiah and Isaiah describe us as being like clay. And, of course, the issue is, do we let God form us into his image and likeness? Or do we let the devil form us into something hideous? Do we let our culture form us into something that people in the culture can use for their purposes? Or do we make something by ourselves and make our own self, but it will be still something rather ugly and amateurish? So that's a very important thing to keep in mind. Okay, and let's see. This is from Phil. God sees our past, he sees our future, and our present. He therefore already knew that Mary was going to say yes. He already knows my intentions and my free will actions in the future. Does that mean he sees if I enter heaven or hell? If so, am I already there in his existence? Does the space-time continuum of quantum physics reflect God? Or does God reflect the time-space continuum? Is the time-space continuum God? YouTube question. No, Phil. First of all, the time-space continuum is not God. It's a creature, and no creature is God. But God is the origin of space-time continuum, and this is something that God has created, you know, fitting his own nature. I mean, of course, it would be consistent with his nature, just as we make things, we make tools that are part of our, you know, that are consistent with our nature, but they are not our nature. So when I make a hammer, it is something usable by me as a human, but it is not human itself. And neither is something that God creates God. It is an image of him. Now, keep this in mind. God doesn't see our past or see our future. Keep in mind that our past, our present, and our future are always and eternally present to God. So it's not as if he sees what we will do, for it's already present to him. And the reason that that is important is that if God saw what we will do, then our will means nothing. But if everything is already present to us, is already present to God, whether it's past, present, or future, then our interaction with God, our obedience or disobedience, for instance, is something relevant to our relationship with God. Sometimes people try to say, well, if he already knows what I'm going to do, then it doesn't matter. It's not that he knows what you're going to do. It's what you're, what will be the future for us is already present to God. But we are interacting with him in that present. And this is something that is very important. So the decisions we make are extremely important. But for God, it's not something in the future. And it's not something in the past. It's always and eternally present. That is what true eternity means. Whereas for us, we have a derived eternity that we will live forever once we're in existence, but not until then.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. It's EWTN's Open Line Wednesday with Father Mitch Pacwa.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Wings is EWTN's weekly e-newsletter. You can find out about EWTN radio and television shows, items from religious catalog, and a whole lot more. Sign up for Wings today at EWTN.com. Simply look for the subscribe button. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. One line open for you at 833-288-3986. Back to the phones we go. Frank is a first-time caller in Knoxville, Tennessee, listening at EWTN.com. Frank, you are on with Father Mitch.
Thank you, Father Mitch, for taking my call.
Sure.
Question out of Hebrews chapter 10. It says that, for by a single sacrifice, Christ perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Mm-hmm. Also in Hebrews, it talks about Christ continuing the role as an intercessor for us on our behalf. How do I reconcile those two concepts in Hebrews?
Okay, give me the second one again. Do you know where that, what's the citation?
The intercessory role is in chapter 7, verse 23.
Okay.
9:25, he's in the presence of God.
Let me find some of these. So okay. In Hebrews 7, and then verse 23?
Yeah.
All right. And so it says that the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. And your question, but Jesus holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever.
Right. And a high priest would offer sacrifice, and I presume it's the sacrifice of his Calvary that he's offering before God the Father continuously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now going to Hebrews 10, verse 14, it says, by a single sacrifice, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified.
Right, right. And so what's the difficulty?
So the single sacrifice, does that, why does God continually offer intercession for us if he made that single sacrifice?
Okay. This actually goes back to the earlier question we had. You believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son?
Yes.
Okay. And because that's key to understanding that. If he is truly God the Son, then his one-time sacrifice on the cross is eternally present. And with his ascension into heaven, he is presenting that sacrifice for before the Father for all eternity. That this is a permanent presence just like of the permanent priest. And this is continually present before the Father and is eternally present before the Father. Now, it's the one sacrifice on the cross, but it is eternally present because of his divinity and is presented so that people in every place, in every time, can receive the salvation that Christ won for us by that one sacrifice. Does that help?
That makes sense, yeah. All acts of God, as you said, are present.
Yes.
Before the Father.
Everything is present. It's not that he remembers something of the past. God has no past, and he has no future. Everything is present.
That's, very good.
That's the divine nature. And what we are doing at Mass, because there's another follow-up issue. Why do we celebrate Mass repeatedly, right? And that's a natural kind of question. Many very good Christians ask that. And here is the key. At the Eucharist, which Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, it is making present to us in time what is eternally present in heaven. That eternal self-offering by the high priest Jesus Christ is made present. It's not a new sacrifice. It's not a different sacrifice. That's why we emphasize that the Mass is the representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary. It is the one sacrifice, but it is made present to us in time, what is eternally present to him in heaven. Does that help?
Yeah, yeah. And I guess you could say the Last Supper and Calvary are kind of together as well, right?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Frank. We appreciate the phone call today. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. That's the number Marie used in the Republic of Texas, listening on the EWTN app. Marie, you're on with Father Mitch.
Hi, Father Mitch. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You are very famous in our little family. Our three-year-old adores you.
Well, tell him thanks.
Absolutely. I was just mainly calling because this is a question my husband and I have been toiling with for a long time now, and we've talked to Father Wabenesis as well and a couple of other priests, mm-hmm. and now we're moved to the next stage of the situation, but mm-hmm. my sister-in-law is getting married in December. She is Catholic, but does not want to get married in the church, is what she told us last night.
Why is that? Did she say why?
She said it was her decision, and that she didn't really give a reason why. It was just that she decided this for whatever her reason.
Okay.
Her fiance is Hindu. She said, well, he'd have to convert, and we said, no, he would not.
No, he would not.
Correct, yeah, and my husband informed her of that. We talked to her about, you know, potential dispensation option, and we were trying to understand, you know, her reason for not wanting a Catholic wedding. And ultimately, what she told us after getting upset with us, after we informed her, we did not feel comfortable allowing our little children to be in the wedding because it's not going to be Catholic, mm-hmm. was that she said she thought that everything that we believe is a bunch of rules, and her word was that it was a bunch of BS. And so,
okay,
yeah, so we okay. were very, my husband, it's his only sister, his parents are divorced, and he's very concerned about, I'm getting
yeah.
a little shaky.
Yes.
He's just very scared about the way they're going to ultimately treat. Sorry.
It's okay.
A little one talking here. He's just afraid of what will ultimately be what will come back towards us from his parents. And then, of course, the way she's treated us, and she's told us if we do not attend, then she will never forgive us. And so mm-hmm. we're just trying to figure out. And I'm also pregnant, too. So
she's pregnant, or you are?
I am.
Oh,
so it
yeah.
just makes the stress
yeah,
level worse.
Of course. All right. Couple of things, Marie. Let's take this straight on. Who called whose religion, as you said, say bologna sausage or something like that?
She did, yeah.
And she's the one that you're just following rules, but then she goes ahead and shows tremendous disrespect toward your faith and your faith commitment. Right?
Yes, correct.
Let me ask you this. Do you live your faith, and are you willing to die for Christ if necessary?
We do live our faith, and that is my hope, that I would be capable of doing that if that ever happened. Yes, and we.
In other words,
we reminded her of that last night as well. We believe and we love our faith, and it's more important to us than anything, and we don't view it as a bunch of rules.
And so she has to insult you. And she has to insult your faith. This is a core decision. At that point, I think I could not attend.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and then she adds emotional manipulation to someone that she has just insulted about a core act of faith. And she wants to make you feel guilty for her doing something that is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yes, absolutely.
I could not go. I could not attend. And I would say to her, the shameful behavior has been on your side. You owe Christ an apology. You owe us an apology. And if anybody else in the family, if you want to manipulate other people in our families, you're trying to manipulate us, your wedding is already doomed, because that poor man is going to have to put up with more manipulation from you, young lady. Does that sound about right?
It does, absolutely. And it was almost, I guess, kind of a threat, too, that she made towards us as to what their parents would do and how
let them do it. If you're willing to lay down your life for your faith, mm-hmm. nothing that they do is going to harm you. Okay?
Exactly.
Keep that in mind.
Yes.
Secondly, warn that young man that he's going into a marriage with a manipulative person and that he ought to be very careful. I would even mm-hmm. tell him, get a prenup.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help,
right.
Marie?
Yes. I appreciate everything. Thank
you. Absolutely, yeah.
Terrific. Thanks so much
for
the phone call.
Keep you in prayer. Thank
you. We appreciate it. Hey, listen, the marriage and family are the battleground of our day and age, huh?
Absolutely. And the using emotional manipulation is unacceptable.
Very good. 833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. It's a free telephone call anywhere in North America. 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, we'd still love to hear from you. And we've got a couple open lines for you at 1-205-271-2985. And if you are outside of North America, we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can always send us an email, openline@ewtn.com. That's openline@ewtn.com. Or you can text your question to Father Mitch. He's a 21st century kind of Jesuit. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question. Message and data rates may apply. It's EWTN's Open Line Wednesday with Father Mitch Pacwa.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Month of April from EWTN Publishing, a brand new book from Father Andrew Apostoli, Answering the Questions of Jesus. Father Andrew reflects on each of the many questions Jesus asked in the Gospels and his insight and wisdom will guide you to a deeper understanding of who Jesus is and what he is really asking of you today. Just some of the questions that they'll explore. Why were you looking for me? Have you no faith? And what would a man offer in exchange for his soul? These questions and many more. Answering the questions of Jesus by our good friend of happy memory, Father Andrew Apostoli. It's available now at EWTN's religious catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. By Catholic Shop, EWTNRC.com. Back to the phones we go. Next up is Charlie in Pensacola, Florida, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Charlie, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. Thanks for taking my call. Father, I was hoping you'd explain the holy oils and mm-hmm. what each one is for, the initials. And
Sure. It. You know, the simplest one is the OI, the oil of the infirm. That's used in the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. There's also the oil of the catechumens, and that's where you see OC on that one. And that is used at baptism. It's one of the oils by which people are anointed at baptism. And then the third one is the one used most often, well, except for the oil of the sick is used more often, actually, but it's used in more sacraments. The third one is the SC, Sacred Chrism. And that is used for baptism and for confirmation and for the ordination of priests and bishops. So it's and it actually includes balsam, that in addition to the olive oil, balsam oil is blessed and mixed into it. And while the bishop is doing the blessing, the balsam is constantly stirred by the deacon as he does that blessing. Does that help?
It sure does. Can I sneak in a second question?
Go right ahead.
Go ahead. They're free.
When Jesus descended into hell, was it in bodily form or just spiritual mm-hmm. form?
As a matter of fact, it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, I think verse 19 and 20, that his soul went to the prison where he preached to the other souls that had died before him. So his body was buried in the tomb, but his human soul went to heaven, down to the prison, or what we would call, we usually translate it as Hades or as hell in English. But he went down to the place of the dead and preached to the souls that had died before him. If you get it, if you have access to the Liturgy of the Hours, the daily prayer of priests and religious and lay people, for that matter, on Holy Saturday in the morning, there is the Office of Readings, and there is a section of a sermon based on that. It's a sermon about Christ's descent to preach to all those souls. And it's really quite beautiful.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. One open line for you at 833-288-3986. We head next to Long Island, New York. Joe is in New York, listening on the EWTN app. Joe, welcome to the program. You're on with Father Mitch.
Thank you. Hi, Father Mitch.
Hey, what can we do for you?
Okay, quick question for you. I know that we don't believe in double predestination. God does not preordain anyone to heaven or hell. My question is, though, in order for Jesus to die for our sins, he had to die on the cross. In mm-hmm. order for him to die on the cross, as you know, logically, someone had to betray him, the mm-hmm. Pharisees or Judas. Now, I know that God, again, we all have free will. God doesn't preordain someone to do something. But if the Pharisees believed that Jesus was God, they didn't persecute him. And if no one persecuted Jesus, he wouldn't have went up on the cross. So someone had to do that, though,
mm-hmm.
right? So how do we explain that?
Okay, a couple things. First of all, I urge you to read the section about the betrayal in the Gospels. Have you read that recently?
I have not.
All right. I would urge you to do that. Take a look. You can start off with Matthew chapter 26. And Jesus sat at table with the 12 apostles. And he says in chapter 26, verse 21, one of you was about to betray me. And, you know, they all of them were worried that, is it I? And he explains, it's the one who dipped his hand in the dish with me, which, by the way, is a sign of friendship. He makes this last ditch effort to show friendship to him. And then, and this is key for your question, in verse 24, where it says, the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. And Judas says to Jesus at that moment, in the very next verse, is it I, Master? Notice he doesn't call him Lord. He calls him Master. Is it I, Master? And Jesus said to him, you have said so. Now, this is where Christ is addressing all of them and speaking directly to Judas. And he says in front of Judas, it'd be better for you not to have been born than to betray me. And Judas decides to do it anyway. Now, does it sound like our Lord says, well, he's predestined to do this, so it's okay? Does anything like that sound like Jesus teaching there?
No.
No.
No. No, I understand that. But I'm not saying, but someone had to, the Pharisees, or if it wasn't Judas, had to, someone had to persecute Jesus, put him up on the cross for him to die for our sins. It had to happen, though.
It had to happen that he would die for his sins. But being betrayed is something that Judas freely chose to do. In fact, he had been prepared for it by previous sin. Remember how St. John mentions in chapter 13 and also in chapter 12 that Judas was in charge of the their money, the money that they held together, and he was stealing from them for a long time before. And that stealing led him to be glazed over by the desire for 30 pieces of silver. A denarius was a copper coin, take care of it for a day. 30 pieces of silver was considered more significant, but it also was the price of a slave. And so Judas is being told by Christ, he's being given a last effort to show, to reestablish friendship. And he does this anyway. There would be other ways that our Lord could have been captured. Later on, we see, for instance, in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, James is arrested and his head is cut off. Peter is arrested, though he gets out of jail. But so they could have arrested him in a wide variety of ways. Judas, confronted directly by Christ, bears that full responsibility for the betrayal. Just as we all bear full responsibility for our sins. This, even if other good things come out of our sins, they're still sins, and ends don't justify the means. That's one of the principles that, you know, would be implied in your question. Well, this is the end, so it justifies the means. No, it doesn't. A wicked means, even for a good end, is still wicked. And that's why Judas has to bear that full responsibility.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. We head back to the Republic of Texas. George is in Dallas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. And Father Mitch, I think George has a writing project for you. George, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hello, Father.
Hi.
I was.
Wait a minute. You're not from Dallas, are you?
No, I'm from Louisville.
Okay. Originally?
And I was at your Sunday service this past Sunday, and you were just too popular afterwards to come up and ask this question, so I figured I'd call up on the radio.
Oh, great. Okay.
Okay, my question is, last week I heard you say that you were not planning on going back to the Holy Land for a tour, and I was wondering if you would consider writing a travel guide for the rest of us.
I don't know. I don't have any plans to do that, largely because my publishers are already breathing down my neck for two other manuscripts that I'm writing. So I don't think I can add a third. Maybe someday. Though I'd have to go back. If I did, I could only do that if I went back there and stayed for a couple of months. And right now, Jack won't let me out of my contract.
Well, plus, that's a work in continual need of upgrading, and updating.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks, George. We appreciate the phone call. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. You like great books?
Mm-hmm.
Like those programs?
Uh-huh.
Like them so much you're going to talk about them on TV tonight?
I am.
And who are you going to do that with?
I'm going to have a guest, Mr. Deloach.
Uh-huh.
And we are going to talk about the Alcuin Institute that he heads and helped start. And we're going to talk about how to train parents and teachers in guiding their children and students to read great books and not dumb books.
And he works in, of all places, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Catholic Revival in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
It's really going on over there. They have a great bishop.
Yeah, terrific. So that's tonight, EWTN Live with Father Mitch, 8 Eastern Time right here on EWTN Television and Radio. Next stop is Dayton, Ohio. Helen is in Dayton listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Helen, you are on with Father Mitch.
Hi, Father Mitch.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Hi, what can we do for you?
I have a question for you, a predicament with my 19-year-old daughter who left to go away to school and came back this past weekend to celebrate the Easter holiday weekend with us and informed me that when I told her about our Mass plans, that she didn't feel that she should go to Mass with us anymore because she does not consider herself Catholic anymore. Mm-hmm. She was raised Catholic, and she considers herself agnostic. Feels that the only reason that I and my husband are Catholic is because we happen to grow up in a highly Catholic area of the country, and that really, how do we know our faith is true, is the right faith, that there are other faiths that are actually, you know, older than Christianity, you know, that Buddhism, that there's historical evidence of Buddha, there's documentation of Muhammad, and really, how do we know? I didn't know what to say to her, and guess I wanted some resources of where to send her.
I have just a few seconds left. Let me answer.
No, we have more than that. I was just going to tell you that, Helen, I've got some good news for you before Father Mitch answers your question.
Okay.
You are the proud parent of a human.
Yeah, yeah. And, good. I can see. I thought you were saying that there's only 1 minute left. I'm getting the one sign here, and I thought it was one.
I was trying to keep you in the starting gate until I made my cue.
Let me add it. First of all, Helen, let me ask you this. Were you raised in a Catholic area?
Yes, I was.
Were you raised by Catholic parents?
Yes, I was.
And so you learned the faith from them?
Correct.
Is that the only reason that you stay Catholic?
No, and I even said that to her because I questioned my faith as an adult, and I said I made a conscious decision as an adult that I considered maybe becoming, you know, joining a Protestant church, but I said, no, you know, the Catholic faith, I'm not going to leave the Catholic faith because it's the right faith.
And
it is the truth.
Here's the other thing, too. You let that young lady know. You don't tell me what my motives are because you're guessing. Your guess is incorrect. You didn't guess correctly about why I, whom you knew your whole life, and you can't figure out what my motivation is by your guesses. So now you make me question your judgment about other things. Next time you ask me what my motivation is, that would be one way to start and make her think about the things she says. Secondly, of course, Muhammad is not before Christianity. He was born in 585 AD, and he started to get his first revelations around 610 AD. So that's way after Christianity. That with Buddha is older, and there is evidence of him living that. There's no doubt of that. But the question, and Buddha is, like she, an agnostic. He didn't know if there was a God or if there wasn't. So she might be interested in him, but he's also very disciplined. I hope that she is as disciplined as Buddha is in giving up all desire. That's one of the key goals of Buddha and Buddhism. You give up all desire. And as the way to become free from suffering. So she may have to think about that, okay? And she's free to and welcome to study these other faiths. And here's the book I would recommend. It's by Houston Smith. Houston Smith. And it is a very fair presentation of world religions, the main religions in the world, Hinduism, Buddhism, and of course Judaism, Islam, Christianity, a couple others too. It's been 50 years since I've read that, but it really was a superb book, and it was recommended to me by my professor of world religions, who was himself a practicing Hindu. And he thought it was very fair on Hinduism, and I thought it was fair on Christianity. So it's a good book. Start off with that as a fair, respectful book, and have her compare these things. She may also want to take a look at the case for Christianity in a book like Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. That is an excellent introduction for someone who is in a prison. Lewis was himself an atheist whose parents weren't big on church, I don't think. So he became an atheist when he was about 13 or 14. And he practiced that until he came to the conclusion that Christianity is true. But that may be helpful, along with his book, Surprised by Joy. Which is his autobiography about his conversion. So those would be a couple of things that I would recommend. Does that help?
It does. Father, who did you say? What was the title of the book by Houston Smith?
I don't remember that. Again, that was 52 years ago that I read it. But it's something like World Religions or Religions of the World, something like that.
World Religions.
Or probably Religions of the World. Again, it's been 52 years, but it's such a good book. It's still in print.
Very good. Thanks, Helen. We'll keep you in our prayers for sure. Next up is Lainey in the Southwest United States today, listening to EWTN Radio. Lainey, thanks for holding. You're on with Father Mitch.
Yes, I have a question about going places on Sunday instead of just taking the day off and resting, and then having somebody undermine me and tell my son about how if you go to the bathroom, then you shouldn't be going to the bathroom because those people work, so I shouldn't be going.
This is your ex-husband saying this to your son.
Yeah. Because I tried to let him know that Sunday is a day of rest, so you can go and have fun and enjoy things, but not where it's like competition games or going and shopping and doing that. Just enjoy and relax and spend the day with God.
Who has primary custody, by the way?
game.
Me.
You. And your husband is trying to use this kind of argument to undermine you, huh? Yeah, yeah, okay. Well, here, a couple things, you know, that I would suggest. One is you need to talk to your husband, your ex, and say, look, you want to argue with me? Argue with me. To use our kids as monkeys in the middle is not fair to them. And ultimately, you may think that it undermines my authority, but you are undermining your own authority as well. And this will bring harm to your relationship with them, as you're trying to do to me. You don't do that. You may not like what I do. You may not. You may think that there should be other things going on. But, you know, by trying to undermine me through the kids and manipulating them to go flat against what I've been teaching is going to come back and harm you as well. It's harming me and causing me trouble, but it'll also harm you. And you need to show respect for the way I'm teaching. Court gave me primary custody. This is something that, you know, we have to deal with. And you can't afford to do that to the kids. Their confusion is not your friend. And their rebellion against you is not the friend of your ex. So really urge him to, being there. That and in terms of this, say, look, if you go to the bathroom at home, you take care of it yourself. You can do it the next day. So you don't come up with crazy arguments. Just deal with the main issue that, you know, you go and take this time as a time of rest and encourage rest for other people. If you want to go out to eat, go to Chick-fil-A. Oh, sorry, they're closed on Sundays.
Quickly, we'll head to Paul in Lake Charles, Louisiana, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Paul, a couple minutes left with Father Mitch. What's your question today?
Good afternoon, Father. How are you?
Fine. What can we do for you this fine day?
I have a question about a child born that is stillborn.
Uh-huh.
Does that child go to purgatory? What is the status of the stain of original sin? Affect that child as well?
You know, this is something that the church has never given a definite claim. Here's why. There's a tension between, on one hand, we need Christ and his forgiveness of our sins. But and the child has not had a chance to be baptized and all. On the other hand, the child has not done any actual sin either. And so, was your intention to baptize the child?
Actually, Father, I've been praying for my granddaughter, as I do for, you know, all souls in purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that that child had no had been dead for some time in my daughter's womb, so it didn't affect her. I didn't talk to a priest about that. It's very sensitive for my daughter.
Of course, it's very difficult. It would be something where I hope that she intended to baptize the child. I assume that that was the case.
Of course, yeah.
Right.
She has 12 boys and baby that was born shortly thereafter, and an older daughter. So,
and here's what I would say, is that one of the things that, and this is why the church is unsure about this, there's also baptism of desire, and that, you know, her desire, her plan to baptize that child and bring the child into the faith, may be part of what's going on there. And I would mention that to her, that just as a catechumen's baptism by desire can bring them to heaven, so also with that child.
Did you leave us with a blessing?
And by the way, Chris, it's not a sin before Mass. Lord bless you all and keep you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. On behalf of our host, Father Mitch Pacwa, our producer, our celebrity producer, Ace McKay, Matt Gubensky, and Charles Beery, I'm Jack Williams. Back at it tomorrow. Until then, God bless.